Well, we're going to continue our discussion of the work that the church does. Why does the church exist? Why is it here? It's an important question, and it's not something that we know intuitively, so it's something that we need to learn. And one of the things that the church does is, whoops, I hit the... Get the keyboard up here. One of the things that the church does is it prepares us as Christians to do the work that God wants us to do. It builds us up. We have a long word that we use for that, and we talk about that periodically. It's called edification. It just means that it builds us up. It's related to the idea of an edifice. It makes us what God wants us to be. We talked last week about how the local congregation has as its work developing spiritual strength in the members of that local body. We looked at a lot of these passages. God doesn't want us to continue to be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. God doesn't want us to be babies in the faith, but to be able to take in meat, to be able to take in some of the deeper things that belong to faith. God wants us to grow in grace and in knowledge, and he wants us to grow in discernment. And that comes from, I think, a statement that the Apostle Paul made in Philippians, but also a statement that he makes to the Hebrew, whoever the writer is of Hebrews, makes in Hebrews the 5th chapter. He says, I couldn't talk to you as, excuse me, he says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And then he makes this interesting statement. He says, strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. The more that we work, the more that we actually use the information that we get from God's word, the stronger we become. And that's not to say that we can somehow, as we gain strength, find other sources of spiritual strength. It's still the word. But as we grow, we gain discernment. And I try to illustrate that, at least for myself, this way. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you encountered something that you had never encountered before? And on the spur of the moment, you have to make a decision about whether or not this is something that I ought to be involved in or whether it's something that I ought to avoid. If you, because of use, have exercised your senses, trust your gut. Trust your gut. You may not know where God has talked about this, but you have exercised your senses, so trust your senses. Not to say that your senses ever define what's good and evil. That's not true. God defines good and evil, but trust your gut. And sadly, a lot of people never get to that point where they can really trust their gut because they haven't used what God gives them. So then, it's important for us now to look at the provisions that God gives us that will help us be this kind of person. And not just to look at the provisions that God provides for us, but to decide we're going to take advantage of these provisions. And we're going to use them. And we're going to become stronger. First thing I would like to point out, and I think this is incredibly important, the strength that we want, the maturity that we want, comes from God. It's not how great we are. It comes from God. Now, there are a lot of things that we provide for ourselves. And we're kind of used to that in this country. You know, if you want to be a strong runner, you have to work and develop yourself. And within yourself, you will develop strength. If you want to be a weightlifter, you have to struggle to learn to lift more weights. And the strength comes from yourself. It comes from your training. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about God. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and get somebody to read verses 11 through 13.
Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
So who is it that's going to strengthen you in this love? It's God. You have to remember that. It's not that we become, that we develop our strength in and of ourselves. It's God who develops that strength. So if you are, in fact, a strong individual who has used your senses and you can discern good and evil, where did you get that? You got it from God. So don't glory in the fact that you're strong. It all came to you from God. Yeah, Carol?
I think the fact, verse 12, it says, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound, not in looking for good and evil, but love one another for all men, just as we do for you. It's the law, everything of the law hangs on love and being able to put somebody else before you and being able to understand that, well, maybe that person didn't do something like we were talking this morning on purpose. Maybe I need to rethink that. It's the love that really makes us increase and understand God better.
That's a good point. Good point. And if that's the case, the point that I want to make so strongly is that this is not the result of great strength in you. It's not the result of great strength in me. It came from God. So give God the glory. Okay? And I think Carol says it well. It's not that I learned to love people. God helps me to love people. Okay? Let's look at 1 Peter 2. And I think the emphasis here in 1 Peter 2 is on the word. It's really this that strengthens us. It's not a grace that God gives us separate and apart from the word. Now, I do believe that we rely on grace and we become stronger in grace. I do believe that God enables us, but it's not something that he does again, without this word. This is the means by which he accomplishes it. So somebody want to read 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2?
Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation.
Okay. It's the word that causes us to become strong. Like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk. So, if you're going to be strong in God, you're going to have to read this for your own, for yourself. You're going to have to spend some time pondering it. And we do ourselves a disservice if we leave our Bibles in the pew. If you don't spend time reading this every day, you're not going to become strong. Now, that's a fact of the matter. I'm very fortunate because I get to spend 8 hours a day focused on reading the Bible and reading spiritual things. Most of us don't have that luxury. And I value that luxury tremendously. But if you're raising kids, especially if you're in the position of being a single parent and you have to raise kids, you have to work, you have to raise your kids, you have to cook, you have to clean, you have to pay the bills. I know that what happens is the daily time that we would spend in the Word just gets kind of pushed to the side. So make sure that you set aside some time every day to read the Bible and to ponder it, to think about what it says. I know how hard that is, especially if you work all kinds of terrible hours. You have to get up before it's dark or before it's light outside. And you have to get started on your day because you've got a lot of stuff you have to get done. And you have this long commute. Let me make a suggestion. Download YouVersion on your phone, and you can get audio books of the Bible. You can get audio versions of the Bible, and you can listen to it while you're commuting. So there are a lot of ways to get around this not having time. So take advantage of the things that are available to us. You know, my dad commuted for 45 minutes one way every day that we lived in California. He bought, this was several years ago, he bought the Bible on cassettes. And he had a cassette player in his car, and he found that he could listen to the entire Bible in a 45-minute commute over his radio. So it was hands-free, and it just took him 1 month to listen to the Bible all the way through. So in the space of a year, he could listen to the Bible 12 times. I think that was a wonderful habit that he had. And he couldn't always tell you book, chapter, and verse, but he could quote what the Bible said. And I think that's just a tremendous opportunity for him. Okay? Fortunately, we don't have to rely on cassette decks anymore, and most of us don't have a cassette player in our car. In fact, it's hard to find a cassette player anymore. That's kind of yesterday's technology. Now you can get it on an MP3, or you can do what I do. I have it on my phone, and I can listen to it all the time. So take advantage of the technology that we have. And use it for good purposes. Don't waste time with your technology. Another way it gives us strength, and it's an important way, is assembling with saints. coming to be with other saints. So let's just look at a couple of passages. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26.
How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation.
Okay. What does he say ought to be the conclusion of that? When they come together, everybody has something to say.
And what? It says, let all things be done for edification.
Okay. So that's what we want to have happen. It's not just that we come together, but we come together and we take we make an effort to build each other up, to strengthen each other. You know, I lament the fact that when we come together, most of us look at the back of somebody's head. And that's probably not the best way to build each other up. I have been in churches that were arranged so that the seats were in a semicircle. And you looked at other people. And I think that's a wonderful opportunity for you to build each other up and gain strength from being with other people. This habit that we have of building churches that are kind of long and narrow this way, I think it doesn't serve us well. It puts the focus on just one person, and I think that's a kind of a mistake. I understand why it happens, because that's the easiest way to build a building. It's the cheapest way to build a building. When you start spanning big distances, it gets really expensive. And they didn't have the technology many years ago to build a building that spanned a long distance. So they necessarily built long, narrow churches. I don't know if you've seen any of the cathedrals that they built in Europe, but they are even more narrow than our building. They're basically about as wide as one side of our building. And so you really had to look at the back of somebody's head. So take advantage of that. And we do that with Zoom. Take advantage of the opportunity to actually share with people in an assembly. I don't know if you're like me. I've gone to a lot of different meetings of one kind or another, conventions, and I've gone to sporting events. When I go to a sporting event, there may be 30,000 people in a football stadium, and I don't interact with them. I just watch what's happening on the field. And in fact, I get mad if people in front of me stand up and I can't see what's going on the field. I'm not there to look at the back of their head. So just use the assembly to its fullest. Take advantage of the time that we can be together. And a lot of the strengthening that happens in an assembly happens before and after an assembly. We come together and we, you know, everybody sits down and we focus on one person and we try to learn what that person is teaching. I realize that has value, but just the ability to interact with people, I think, perhaps has more value. I learned a lot more when I was in school, after class and before class, than I did in class. So just take advantage of that. Somebody want to read Hebrews 10, verses 25 to 26.
Not giving a meeting together, as some... Sorry. not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left.
Okay. Don't absent yourself from the assembly. Don't give up on the assembly, because that's where we strengthen each other. Okay, it's one of the places where we strengthen each other.
Dean,
yes.
Quick question. So I noticed that you did verse 25 and 26. So are you saying that if we don't, then we're sinning? Is that why you clump those two together?
What I'm saying, I think I connected the wrong two verses. I should have connected verse 24 and 25. Let's consider one another to stir up one another to love and good works. That's the passage that I was most interested in. That was a mistake on my part. I should have said 24 and 25. But am I going to say if you give up on assembly that you're sinning? I think if you give up on assembling together, you're giving up on strength. Okay. So I'm not of a mind that when you choose not to assemble, that somehow that is a grievous sin for which you will be put out of God's family. I don't think that's the purpose that he's getting to. Yeah.
I think I have heard this verse taught, I think, out of context many times. And because I think that what he's saying, what the writer is saying, is there are people who are starting to abandon and starting to desert what they know. And rather than avail themselves of a way to strengthen and to be encouraged, they're opting not to. And it's a continual thing. It's not like, you know, I'm not attending, or I didn't get to attend this one time, or something like that. It's somebody who's just abandoning that. And I think it harkens back to the writer saying in chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, he says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace." So I think it's a matter of that attitude of, I want to avail myself of the many opportunities for strength and encouragement.
Yeah. Ted?
And as when we studied this, when I taught this class last year, it's important to remember who this letter was written to. This was written to Hebrews who were giving up Christianity to go back to the old law. That's who this letter was written to. You don't want to take these kind of things out of context and throw them in other situations where they may not apply. This was the writer writing to people who were deciding to give up on Jesus and saying, "No, I'm going back to the old law that I knew so well." And so that's the context of what we're talking about in Hebrews. And although there may be application that we can take from this, don't forget the context for who this was written for.
Yeah. I think that's the important thing. And we sell this short if we say, you need to come to this place on Sunday morning at 9:30, and if you don't, you're sinning. We sell this really short. There's a lot more there than just that. Okay? And one of the things that we give up when we don't assemble with saints is we give up the Lord's Supper. Okay? 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the apostle has a long discussion about the Lord's Supper. He says, when you come together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. You have so mutilated the supper that you're not getting the important effect that you ought to be getting. And he says, when you come together, you use the supper to say, look how great I am and all of the things that I have. I've got this marvelous spread, and look at Diana. She has nothing, okay? And she can't share my spread. I'm not going to let her share my spread, okay? So what they were doing was they were failing to discern the body. This is something we do together. And if you take it out of that context and you try to celebrate the supper without discerning the body, you'll miss it. And if you do that, you'll get sick spiritually. Okay? But we talk about this passage a lot, and I think we miss the focus. You have to do it and discern the body. Yes, we discern Jesus and his body. That's a part of it. But we also discern the body. Don't come together and make it an opportunity to split the church into the haves and the have-nots. Don't do that. That's perverting the supper, and you won't get the benefit. But the supper is a great source of strength. We get to do this together, and to say we all do this together, that means a lot. Do we lose this when we take the supper while we're camped up in the mountains? I'm not going to go there. I don't think that's the point of what he's saying. But he is saying, when you take the supper, do it together. Okay. A lot of things that we do that we do outside of the body, we do it in our home. That's okay. And I think that's what his point is. You have houses to eat and drink in. You do a lot of things in your house. Now, I don't think he's saying that you do it in the house where you live, because there were a lot of people that didn't have houses and certainly didn't have a house big enough to put everybody into it. But he's saying, don't divide. Don't use it as a means for dividing, which is the source of your strength. The source of your strength is the together aspect of this. I think it's also true of singing. There's a source of strength in singing. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. He makes a point that we sing in the spirit and in the understanding. So one of the things that was happening in Corinth is somebody said, look, I have the Holy Spirit. I have the gift of singing in the Spirit, and I sing in an unknown tongue. He says, that's not accomplishing the goal that we want to accomplish. When you sing to help each other. And that's my biggest argument with using an instrument in the singing, because then only one person gets to play the instrument. See how important I am? We don't want that. We want everybody to sing together. We don't want a choir, so that the singing is going to sound better if we have a choir. But have you ever been to a place where they were having a performance and somebody said, don't join this performance. You paid a lot of money to hear really good singers sing this song. Don't join them. You just ruined the experience for everybody else. And I've even heard people say that about churches. You know, I went to a church one time and they had somebody that was singing this beautiful song. And they said, don't help her. You know, she's doing a really good job. So don't help her. And I thought, what a mistake. What an opportunity you've missed to join together and to sing together. And it really does bother me that we can't do that on Zoom. We can do a lot of other things with Zoom. We can see each other. We can know that the other people are there. We can discern the body because we know that they're there. But we can't sing together because of delays. It won't work. So we lose something very important when we work with Zoom. And the assembly is not the only time that we instruct each other. We instruct each other a lot of times. Okay? So I think the point that he's making in Hebrews 10 is don't avoid the interactions that you have that will strengthen you. It may be that the interaction that you're going to have this week is going to get lunch with somebody. That's great. So take advantage of that. We do a lot of instructing outside of assemblies like this that are just as important. So don't forsake that. Don't give up on it. You know, you may get together over at my house and we have coffee sitting by the fire pit out in the backyard, and we get to talk about the things that God has done. So let's look at a couple of these passages here. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14.
Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach.
Okay. And he goes on to say that they should teach the younger women to love their husbands. Okay. That kind of runs counter to the idea that we don't want women to teach in this public assembly, but we want women to teach. You're going to have to find times that happens. That's important. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11.
Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing.
Okay. Encourage. When somebody's having a hard time, take them out to lunch. And the interaction that you have is of great value. In many ways, we're pretty blessed because we get to be a part of a body where almost 100% of our members will interact in one way or another every week. Think about that. Most churches can't say that. You have friends that may attend one of the big mega churches here. They can't say that 100% of our people interact with each other on a weekly basis. They're happy if they can get people to interact once a month. And that's not enough. So let's revel in the fact that we're not like that. We have a lot of interaction. And I think it's a great thing. Other comments about the passages that we're reading? And I don't know why I put June 20. There are not 20 verses.
Yeah.
There are 20 verses. I'm sorry.
I'll read it and you'll know why.
Okay, thank you.
But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to read 21 too, if that's okay.
Okay.
Build yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did put a good verse in there.
You did.
You started with love and you ended with love.
I think that's important. So is assembling like this important? Yeah. But it's no less important than assembling for lunch. So let's not focus all of our attention on what goes on in this building. Let's take advantage of the tremendous opportunities that we have. And we do. We have a great opportunity with Zoom. So Zoom with people. Visit with people. I think that's one of the things that we don't take as good an advantage of as we could. Yeah, Carol.
Well, I think when we first were on Zoom and we didn't see one another and everybody was on Zoom, I think that we really did get a chance to visit and catch up with people on, and it worked much better in that instance.
Yeah.
Because everybody was on and visiting. So.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons when I run a Zoom meeting, I always open the meeting 30 minutes early, and we don't close it until everybody has pretty much left the meeting. And that's because we want that time to visit with people. That's really important. And you're right. Zoom can do that for us. And I think Zoom kind of got us through the pandemic when we couldn't gather. The women gathered several times out the parking lot and shared snacks that they passed around with everybody sitting on the tailgate of their car, not everybody has a tailgate, but everybody was out there and they were sharing, even though we were like 12 feet apart. Can't tell you how important that kind of thing is. So don't let it slip through your fingers. Take advantage of it in a lot of ways. And I do think that in person is better than on Zoom because you gain a lot of strength from a hug. And Kim reminds me of that all the time. You gain a lot of strength. Yeah.
Dean, I just want to say thank you to Jerry because whenever I am on Zoom, he always waves.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Yeah. Doing that kind of thing, I guess that's the equivalent of a Zoom hug. Yeah, absolutely. So take advantage of that.
We got some good huggers in this congregation, too.
Yeah, we do.
Good huggers.
I'm one of those people that's not a hugger. I don't get strength from a hug.
You can learn.
No, I can't.
I've tried for 50 years.
Check.
Teach me how to do that. I would appreciate it.
I had a really good friend that used to worship with us in Anchorage, and he was the biggest guy you've ever met. I mean, you've seen bodybuilders that just weren't buff. He did, okay? He was a hugger extreme. And he used to run into the church building and search me out, run up and grab me.
He was a kisser too, though.
Yeah, he was a kisser too. And I couldn't get away. And I'm not that kind of a huggy person, you know. In the family that I grew up in, you shook hands, you know. So Ron did that all the time. And I used to, then it got to be kind of fun because I'd see him come in the building and I'd start running in the other direction to get away from it. But he hugged everybody. What? Just me. He hugged everybody. Okay. We gotta build each other up. We gotta be strong. It's not easy living in the world that we live in, and we rely on the help that we get from other people, don't we? All the time. And you know, I remember when making a long-distance phone call was a terribly expensive thing, and you had to wait until after, what was it, 6 o'clock, the rates went down, and if you waited until after 9 o'clock, the rates went down. If you called somebody and it was during the daytime,
rates went up.
Yeah, the rates were up. They were high. And so it was exchange the information that you have to exchange and hang up. Okay. No, just idle chit chat. And we were living in Alaska at the time, and we would call our folks every weekend. But you had to wait till the rates went down, and you couldn't just visit. You couldn't just hear their voice. So let's take advantage. We don't have to deal with that anymore, thankfully. You know, I even have a 714 area code, and I don't have to pay long distance charges to call anybody here. I just go ahead and call. So let's remember that. What's happening? Did I do that, Ted? I proceeded all the way through the invitation song here. Didn't mean to do that. Ted's gonna lead us. Ted's gonna lead us. Ted's gonna lead us. Ted's gonna